Hello, I'm Renee Vaughan Sutherland, and welcome to Greater Than 11%, a weekly podcast that explores roles and opportunities within the creative industries, with the aim of contributing to increasing diversity across the board, in addition to promoting some awesome women. Episode 28, I'm joined by copywriter Christina Olympia Angus. A self-confessed copy chameleon, Christina writes copy for creative treatments and concepts, pictures, editorial, social media, press, print, and the web. With a solid 15 years in the industry under her belt, she has worked for agencies such as M&C Saatchi, The Red Brick Road, Grays, Kamarama, Analog Folk, to name a few. And Christina's talents and skills have contributed to promote numerous campaigns for brands such as the BBC, Suzuki, Boots, Green and Blacks, and Tesco. She now heads up her own company, Copy Christina Limited, working as a freelancer. Not only is she a master of words, she also co-founded and manages Street Diner, Brighton's much-loved and biggest weekly street food market. Street Diner champions traders, offering the best tasty street food, and has been mentioned in the BBC Food Magazine, The Independent, and Elle Magazine. Christina has also been part of Creative Equals Returners, a fantastic program which aims to upskill women returning to work after an extended period. Christina, what a delight to welcome you to Greater Than 11%.
Thank you, and what a lovely introduction. Really appreciate it. Oh. Makes me feel massive.
You are massive. You've done so much. It's awesome. I was looking at loads of your campaigns and, yeah, really beautiful copy and, yeah, it was
Thank
great.
You.
So, shall we kick off with you telling me what is a creative copywriter and what is it they do?
My role as a writer is to basically create a tone of voice or to represent the brand that I'm working on to potentially sell something or create a narrative or a brand story for something, and to basically represent the client or the brand in the public domain. I am their voice, and that's kind of what a copywriter needs to do.
Okay. So what was your journey to becoming a copywriter up until now?
I actually fell into the industry. My route into advertising wasn't perhaps linear. I didn't go to uni and study marketing. I worked my way into the industry. I was actually a PA working in the creative department of a big above-the-line agency.
And when you say above-the-line, what do you mean by that?
I suppose a traditional advertising agency that would do predominantly TV, print and radio. Mm-hmm. I would, during my downtime, steal briefs from the creative department. And me and my fellow PA, there were two of us, because traditionally in a team you work as a pair. You have a writer and an art director. So between us, we stole briefs and we would slip them into the creative director's office. And lo and behold, one of our ads made it into production and we had a little 10-second TV ad put on air.
That's amazing.
So we were cast away from our roles as PAs back in the day, and we were put into an office to become a team, and the rest was kind of history. I mean, it wasn't easy. We were made redundant shortly after. However, it did kind of give us a taste and some very critical grounding to what was to come next. You know, when you kind of don't have a clue and it's a sink or swim situation, you have to swim. And that was 15 years ago and I'm still doing it. So obviously something worked.
So how tenacious, like what made you think, oh, I can do that and steal the brief? Because that's pretty canny.
Do you know, it's everyone is creative. Everyone has a vision, or everyone can come up with an idea. I think what takes time and learning is to craft it. So that tenacity, everyone has it. One of the things that I've learned over the years is if I come up with an idea for something, is to give it the mum test. So if I show it to my mum, as well as the creative director, my mum's got vision. My mum, you know, she consumes, she understands ideas. So I think we all have ideas, and it's the craft that takes time. So whilst you can steal a brief and go into an office and be a creative, what you can't be straight away is just to understand the process, to understand how you have to really, I think it's honing that process, and that takes time, and that's a learning. But the tenacity was good to have in the beginning, and then I just realised, oh my God, I'm really going to have to work hard at this to get you know, as I said, where I am today, 15 years later, still orbiting this amazing industry of advertising.
Cool. Can you tell me where a copywriter fits within an agency?
Traditionally, a copywriter will work with an art director, and that person will become your day husband or your day wife. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to live, breathe, share working space with that person, you know, day in and day out. So they're your kind of direct partner. Although saying that, the role of a copywriter has certainly changed over the years. The landscape of writing has changed. But in a traditional setup, you will work with an art director. You will work very closely with a planner and a strategist, because without a good brief, you're screwed, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. You will report to your creative director, who, like a child, you will want to impress all the time, because it's important that you do that. And I think that makes it exciting and challenging, knowing that you want to please someone who inspires you. That's, mm-hmm. it's really important. Yeah. You will work with the account people, who are your connection between the creative department and the client. Mm-hmm. I'm a creative, very happy to go client facing. They know you're not a machine working in a department mm-hmm. with a typewriter in front of you. You know, you're a person, and making those relationships work make for better advertising. So you have creatives that will go in front of clients and creatives that don't. I think it's important too. So I would say the copywriter is key to every part of the agency. It's also really important that we work with the studio, because when you write something and you look at it on an A4 sheet of paper, when it goes into design, it takes on a whole new life form. It's not the same. So again, I feel that as a copywriter, you need to be in tune with every other department in the agency. It's really, really vital for you to get the best looking message and the best looking work out there. So, mm-hmm. yeah, touching all departments all the time, working with everyone.
And do you have to be flexible? I'm just thinking, because you are working with all these different people and departments, how does that work as you're going through that process?
Oh my goodness. Well, look, as you've just touched on there, it's a combined effort, yeah. right, to get to something great.
Yeah.
I find that the brief will land on my desk. My art director and I will tear it apart, as I'm sure all creative teams do. And eventually we'll talk to probably to the planner, the creative director, the account handlers. And then someone will say something and you'll hook and jump onto that one word or that one sentence that may, hopefully it will be on the brief, but it might not be. Mm-hmm. And then you take that thought, that nugget, that kind of little piece of information, and then you go away to your desk and you freak out. You think, oh my God, I'm never going to do this. You go through this cycle of, I'm amazing, I've got this, to, oh my God, is anyone going to get this, to, I'm rubbish, to, yeah, okay, it's okay, it's going to work.
Yeah.
I think the whole process involves everyone, but ultimately you do have to step back on your own if you're writing solo or with your art director, and you just have to lock down for a while. And again, ideas, they don't necessarily come between the hours of 9 or 5. You have lucid times, I think, during the day, and it's different for everyone. So you have to just keep digging, keep questioning. And a really good creative team, you can tell that other person, oh my God, that's rubbish, or oh my goodness, that's amazing. And I think it's being honest, being truthful, and working as a collaborative effort to kind of get to the end result. But when I'm writing long copy, I do find that I can't have anyone in the room with me. It's quite a solitary experience. You know, headlines and long copy, I think, A, you'd be mental if you think that you can get it right first time. I'm sure there are people out there who can, but I believe in the give it some time, write it, think about it, step away from it, come back to it. You know, that's the craft that takes time. Mm-hmm. So, but I do feel the actual writing of long copy is the part of my day which I think needs to be quite solitary. I need to be on my own with the brief and my laptop in my own space. No distractions, please, or get out of my office.
There's something that you mentioned there that kind of grabbed me. So the inner critic, because I think it's actually really important to discuss. So getting the brief, feeling completely like incompetent, like I'm never going to have an idea again. Can I even write? And then going through that cycle, over your experience and your time, have you got a technique to manage that, or do you just trust now just because of the experience?
When the brief lands in front of you and you're staring at a blank white screen and you have to write some copy that's going to create some impact, it's going to please the client, it's going to please yourself, it's going to please your creative director, of course you're going to critique it. I mean, it would be it would be naive to think that you're going to get the perfect result first time. I think it's important to write, go back to it, write, edit it. Everything can be edited. Mm-hmm. Like, my middle name shouldn't be Olympia. It should be Christina Edit Angus, because everything can be edited. I think there is a process that comes with time. You just learn how to critique your work and then make it better. And whether that critique is something you do yourself or whether you can take constructive criticism, also really important. Mm. You have to be quite thick-skinned, and that comes with time also. But yeah, just to kind of be able to critique your work and then make it better. It's really vital. Uh-huh. I think it's really vital. And the only way to kind of get to your best work.
Okay, cool. So is there a typical working day for a copywriter?
No, and that is the beauty of why we are all in this industry. There is no typical day. You're surrounded by no typical people. Uh-huh. It's exciting. The creative department is alive with thoughts, ideas, egos, and that's okay. There is nothing typical about what we do. And I think that's why it's such a magnetic industry to be in. You know, a brief lands on your desk. It's for a different client. It's for a different medium. It's for a different audience. You have to be a chameleon. You have to jump around. And no, I would say this is the furthest from typical you could ever be in. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's brilliant. And that's why I love it so much. And that's why so many people want to work in advertising, in this great industry that we're in. It's an exciting time as well. I think the idea of typical, since the landscape of what we do has changed, moving from print and press into the digital world. I mean, there's nothing typical. I can't keep up with sort of digital landscape. And a lot of times I'll go into agencies and, you know, you have to quietly listen. What's happening? What's going? You know, what's the word on the street with the latest tech? Mm-hmm. And it absolutely, we're the furthest away from typical we could ever be. Mm-hmm. But that's what makes it great.
Cool. So what is your creative process when working on a brief?
In an ideal world, you want to have experienced the brand that you're working on. Now, I know that's not always possible. For example, I was writing some copy for a luxury car. Chances are I'm never going to own that luxury car. It helps to have an understanding of the brand that you're working on. So however closest you can get to that, if it's a coffee or a car, anything within the beauty industry, even if you can't touch that brand, at least go and immerse yourself in that world somehow. Mm-hmm. You've got to look at the competitive landscape. What are other people doing out there? What are other brands saying? And then you have to look at that and want to better that message. You also have to put yourself into the mindset of what the client is asking for from that brief. So you really have to kind of spread your mindset into different areas. So you have to think about the product, think about the client, think about the audience, and then go forth and do your best and conquer. I was going to say conquer, but it takes time to get there.
And so what do you do? Do you sit down at your computer and look at the screen? Do you start scribbling words on post-it notes? Or do you write things up on a wall? How do you actually approach the brief once it's given to you?
I think if the brief is purely writing, mm-hmm. then absolutely read the brief, ask questions, and then just go and sit somewhere quiet with probably your 18th coffee of the morning and start typing. If it's concept work, then chances are you'll be with your art director. Mm-hmm. A nice blank wall where you can stick your ideas up on the wall, whether they are on post-it notes or scamped up on pieces of paper. It's an immersive experience and you want to see everything that you've created around you. You'll know when you've hit something that excites you or that looks right. I think being able to spread it around you and look at it is really important. Mm-hmm. So quiet space for solo writing and then lots of blank walls and blue tack around you and recyclable paper, obviously, for when you are coming up with concepts.
Okay, awesome. You've just taken part in the Creative Equals Returners. Can you talk about the scheme?
I can talk about this amazing scheme that I've just been on. Creative Returners is a program that's been set up to encourage more women who have stepped out of the industry to step right back into it. So when I heard about the Creative Equals course, I was like, oh my goodness, why is this? It shouldn't even have to be there. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I was so grateful to have been asked to go on the course. I know there are a lot of applications. Mm-hmm. Women who made it onto the course were all chosen for their background, their work history. It was a really fantastic opportunity. And it's women in the creative departments. So studio designers, copywriters, art directors, art workers, women certainly within the creative sphere, and to get them back into the creative department. Because I think at a certain age, the drop off with women tends to be quite great. Those creative departments tend to be quite heavily male dominated. Mm. And it's to drive this huge army of creativity back into those roles. Whether you've stepped away to have a child or multiple children, or whether you've stepped away because you've needed a break and burnt out, or for whatever personal reason, I think the whole idea of returners is it doesn't matter what you've stepped away from. You can come back into the industry and step back into your role, create great work, win awards, do all the stuff you're doing before you stepped out.
Cool. And was it great meeting other women that kind of in that same position and talking about that? And
it was amazing meeting other women. There are a whole army, and really there are a lot of applications for the course. I met 50 amazing mm-hmm. women. I'm sure there are plenty more out there. Everyone is passionate about working in this industry, but has had to step away for whatever personal reasons, and don't want to feel that they can't step back into it. I mean, there was so much talent on the course alongside me. I felt so lucky and so inspired. I think there's a whole lot of opportunity out there.
Some of the barriers to that, I guess, is having a break and things progressing. I guess we were just talking about digital before and stuff like that. So things progress. So that's kind of maybe a barrier. What are the other perceived barriers, you know, that the scheme are talking about? Because I think that's actually the really fascinating fact, is actually the fact that we need a scheme like this to support women that have had a break for whatever reason. Life happens, anything could have happened. But coming back in the industry to reset the balance, because like you're saying, but these kind of hugely male-dominated at the kind of top creative roles, and it's kind of getting more women into that, so we get this balance back.
It was really interesting. One of the terms that was discussed during the program was this thing called imposter syndrome, mm-hmm. where you're in a career, but you feel that you don't belong in that career, or you're not worthy to be in that career. And certainly when you step away from the industry, perhaps that feeling could become greater. I think the barriers are, as soon as you step out, whether you step out for a year or 3 years or 5 years, that suddenly you've lost touch with everything, but you haven't, because you haven't lost your creative drive. That force that was there remains. You can be distracted from it for a while because other things are going on, like having a baby or setting up your own business or stepping out to do some caring for some parents that need you. But there's the confidence part of it that you feel that you can't step back in. I think there is the technology angle that you just touched on, where you feel that you're not in touch with everything that's going on. You're worried that you're not keeping up with trends and what's happening in the industry. So the whole course was about shedding a light on this is what's going on. You can jump right back into it. And yeah, just kind of sharing what was happening in the industry so that women could have the confidence to apply for jobs again.
Awesome. And what did you take from it?
I felt massively inspired. I mean, there were some amazing guest speakers mm-hmm. who came to talk to us. Women who work at Facebook, Google, Apple. Just, it was so empowering to listen to these women mm-hmm. speak their experiences. And I still feel very passionate about the fact that I want to remain in this industry. Mm-hmm. The returners thing, I was saying to you earlier that actually I have freelanced mm-hmm. in this industry on and off for the past few years. So I don't feel that it's exactly a return. Mm-hmm. However, it has been a huge confidence builder. The networking mm-hmm. that we've been able to do has been immense. And also the networking that will happen within the group, I think there will be huge value in that as well, because we're on WhatsApp groups and we're on Facebook forums and everyone can share jobs or what, you know, people can team up. So my outtake from this is empowerment, networking, camaraderie, and we're all going to go out and get drunk, I think, in a few weeks' time. So that's going to be good as well.
Awesome. Okay, so not only are you a super talented copywriter, you also co-founded and run Brighton's number one street food market, Street Diner. So how did this come about?
Do you know, it's serendipity, right? Yeah. Right place, right time. So I left London with my husband and we moved to the outskirts of Brighton. Mm-hmm. There was a small market happening in the village that we moved to, and I got chatting, weirdly, to the lady who ran it, a lady mm-hmm. called Kate. Kate and I struck up an instant friendship, and after a night out in a pub where I drank so much gin, I vomited all the way home, Kate and I decided that what Brighton really needed was a street food market, because there wasn't one at the time, 6 years ago. There wasn't a dedicated platform for all the amazing street food that's happening down in that city. There just wasn't anywhere for traders to trade regularly. Uh-huh. Kate's background is markets. Mm-hmm. She's run markets. My background is loosely advertising.
It's not loosely. It is advertising.
It's advertising. And so between us, I think what we combined our life experiences. We spent a lot of time looking for sites in Brighton. Mm-hmm. And eventually we found a church garden near Brighton Station. And we pitched the idea to the church because it's a church ground. And they very kindly said, well, look, why don't you give it a go and you know, see what happens. Mm-hmm. The initial response for the market, it was incredible. Mm. It was amazing. I mean,
response from traders?
The response from the public. Yeah. I mean, and from the traders. When we started to sort of put the word out there, look, we're Christina and Kate, we're going to launch this market. It's called Street Diner. Mm. It's going to be a street food market, Brighton's first. Do you want to get involved? The trader community kind of surged forward because there wasn't a dedicated space for them to trade. Whereas we were saying, right, we've got a central location, we're going to create a weekly market. And then the general public, I mean, I remember when we launched the first day, Kate and I had invested £300 each. We'd bought some banners to put on the site. We'd done some very basic flyering around the area. We'd put a couple of Facebook posts and some Twitter posts. And we launched the market, and 3,000 people there or thereabouts turned up to the first event. It was really packed. And from that moment,
did you have enough food?
It was just, we had no idea it was going to be that busy. It just exploded. Yeah. And I think from that moment, we knew that we'd hit on something that the wider Brighton public wanted. Mm. The market has remained a super popular Friday lunchtime treat. I mean, obviously, we're an outside event. Uh-huh. So if it's raining, you're maybe not going to get 3,000 people. Yeah. But in the summer, in the sunshine, we can hit over 2,000 people easily. It's been a labour of love, and it's been hard work, and it's just been amazing. I kind of fell into it like I did with advertising. And I'm so glad that I did. It's been the greatest side hustle I could have ever hoped for. Uh-huh. Street Diner. We work with established traders. We're very exclusive to Brighton and the southeast. Uh-huh. We try and work with traders who are local. I think that local angle is really important. Mm. It has created award-winning traders. We've worked with various entities around the city, like the Brighton Marathon, the Brighton Fringe. Mm-hmm. We've curated various lineups for smaller events. We have put street food traders into pubs in the city who have gone on to win awards. And yeah, it's just, it's been amazing. I still can't believe having this conversation with you that that happened to me.
Yeah.
It feel, again, imposter syndrome. I feel that I shouldn't be in that role.
And how long's it been running?
5 years
and
now.
And you still feel like that?
A little
and
bit.
It's awesome. Because, and it's won awards.
Yeah. It's been an amazing thing. I'm very grateful. And also, when I'm not working in advertising and I'm in Brighton, it's a creative entity. Mm. It creates an amazing hub, a community space. People come together, food discovery. The traders are superstars. And it's like being in a creative department, but more delicious.
Yeah. Is there a crossover between your copywriting and Street Diner? Do they kind of inform each other in any way?
Absolutely. I try to manage the social platforms for Street Diner. So we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. So yeah, I think having an understanding of how to talk to the public is really important. Mm-hmm. But also my ad background, I suppose when I am on site and I'm managing or line managing, or, you know, you have to be a people person, you have to be a communicator. Mm-hmm. So whether I'm talking to traders or whether I'm talking to public, I think being able to have that passion, be able to express it is really vital. I also badger on incessantly at the traders that they are more than just food, they are a brand. So I feel that my background has been useful in more ways than one. I'm proud of the traders that we work with. You know, they are amazing superstars. The food they create, you can't hide when you're creating street food, you can't hide in a kitchen.
Yeah.
the connection that you make with the food and the trader is instant. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to smash it. It has to be amazing. Mm-hmm. And also because we are on social streams, thankfully 99% of the comments we get are always really great. Mm-hmm. But people are going to, you know, if something's not right, people are going to tell you about it. Mm-hmm. So you have to be great. You have to be amazing. There's nowhere to hide. Mm-hmm. It's instant and everything is happening right there in front of you. So you have to be awesome.
Great. So it's every Friday. And if people want to visit, it's only a couple of minutes walk from Brighton train station.
Yeah.
And if they want to find more, what's the website?
So you can find us on Twitter at Street Diner. Uh-huh. You can find us on Facebook, Street Diner Brighton. You can find us on Instagram at Street Diner. And yeah, streetdiner.co.uk. We're 5 minutes from the station. You can't miss us because you'll smell us before you see us. It smells amazing. Yeah. Every Friday lunchtime, come and sit in the garden and eat some great food. Discover stuff that's the point of street food, right? It's to discover food that perhaps you wouldn't have eaten before. You're not going to cook at home. There's a whole load of amazing dishes waiting for you. That's what makes it amazing.
So going back to copywriting, what skills do you need to be a copywriter?
A passion and a love for words. Mm-hmm. And that could be in any way, shape or form. I'm not saying that you have to have read all the classics to mm-hmm. be a great copywriter. You don't. You have to have a love for words. You have to have a love for the truth. Mm-hmm. I think consumers can read through the crap. Mm-hmm. So you have to be honest, truthful, love for words. You have to be a great editor because 99% of the time you'll write 100 words, but you can easily say that in 50. Mm-hmm. You have to listen to what your client is telling you. You have to be able to dissect the brief that's in front of you, and you have to be able to take criticism from your creative director in the best way, constructive mm-hmm. criticism mm-hmm. that helps you become better at what you do. Words, words, words. I was thinking about getting 2 tattoos that I might have or I might not have. I'd say. One side of me says copy, one side of me says edit. You have to be passionate about both of those things. Uh-huh. Words and editing, I feel. And obviously you have to have a love of good creativity. All those things symbiotically work together to make you a good writer. Learn from your mistakes as well. I think that's really mm-hmm. important. I don't think anyone starts as a copywriter and they're instantly amazing at what they know. Have great writers around you. Look mm-hmm. at what they're doing. You know, learn from what's happening around you. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. That's mm-hmm. a skill that you have to be able to soak up what's going on around you and learn from it. It's really important.
Mm-hmm. So what is one of the biggest challenges you've faced in your career?
Certainly, I think when I stepped away to have my daughter, I think the idea of coming back, the work-life balance, because you want to give it your all, but mm-hmm. also, hang on a minute, I've just created this awesome human that mm-hmm. I want to spend some time with. I think the challenge for me and every working parent, not just mums, mm-hmm. is balance.
Cool. So what do you love about being a copywriter?
I love going into a department and not knowing what the brief will hold. Mm. And also, I love working in a department where you're inspired by the people around you. Mm. I think creativity is such an awesome thing that can come from anywhere, mm-hmm. anyone, anytime. And it's that energy, that's what excites me about being in a creative department.
And so where do you go to fuel your creativity?
You know, if I could like kind of give you a bunch of websites that I go to mm-hmm. all the time, I'm really not that functional. Yeah. I work in a sense of disorganized chaos all the time. Creativity comes from everything, though. You know, whether it's like popular culture and you're watching Love Island. I don't watch Love Island. I do. I have. Or whether you go to...
Our producer, Pat, loves Love Island.
Oh, man. Social experiment, right? Or whether, you know, you go to a gallery. I went to see Martin Parr's, who's an amazing photographer, at the National Portrait uh-huh. Gallery. I mean, inspiration comes from everything and anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it can come in the middle of the night, it can come at 3 o'clock in the morning, it can come at lunchtime. Creativity is on the streets, it's all around mm-hmm. us, it's everywhere. You mm-hmm. just have to, you know, and you recognize it when you see it and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, I wish I'd thought of that, or oh, look at that amazing line, or I love that tone of voice. You know, I think inspiration comes from everything, it's all around us. You just have to grab it when you see it.
Like a sponge.
Definitely, 100%. Okay.
Awesome. So what advice would you give to someone considering a career in copywriting?
I would say you have to be tenacious. Mm-hmm. You have to be thick-skinned. If you are coming out of university, chances are you're going to go and do some placements somewhere. Make contacts with people, network, be nice to people. Don't be a dick, right? Mm-hmm. Because inevitably you're going to bump into these people again. Yeah. I would say never assume you've reached your peak, because you can always be better. Mm-hmm. And there's always someone who will teach you something else that, you know, that will make you better at your craft. Mm-hmm. And just surround yourself in what you do, but also be able to step away from it as well, because the times that you step out of that creative department, they're really crucial to your learning as well. So whilst you must be involved and committed to what's in front of you, the brief that's in front of you, you know, I feel it's also really important to step out. And maybe that's something that comes with age, where you go, actually, it's important to step away from this too. But also, you know, drink loads, go out with people, have fun.
I have so loved talking to you. Your energy, your creativity, it's just fantastic. I feel like really energized myself just catching up with you. So we're coming to the end of the interview. So I'm just wondering, what have you got on in the next couple of weeks, months? What are you up to?
On Friday, I shall be managing a market with my brilliant traders. I'm going to the amazing Creative Returners course has built a wealth of contacts. Mm-hmm. I'm going to chase those up. Mm-hmm. I think now is the time. I've reached peak motherhood. I'm taking my daughter to see Drake at the O2, right? So I can't top that. That's kind of awesome. Again, a little bit of everything, a little bit of work, a little bit of street diner, a little bit of being a mum. I'm going to straddle those three parts of my life to the best of my abilities. That's what's happening for me in the next few weeks.
Awesome. So before you leave, something I ask everyone, is there a career or job in the creative industries you know little about and you'd like to know more about that role? Potentially I could get someone in that role on the podcast. And also a woman in the creative industries that you would recommend or love to hear from Greater Than 11%.
A woman who inspired me during my career is an amazing creative director called Jo R. Scott. Mm-hmm. She is a woman, obviously. Mm-hmm. She's black. Mm-hmm. She is a bundle of energy and she was just a joy to work for. I loved working with her. I think she is currently judging an all-female D&AD award scheme. Okay. I would love for you to talk to her.
I would love to catch up with
her. She's awesome. Okay. She's really awesome. And then with regards to jobs in this industry, I mean, I've been in it for so long. I'm trying to think, what haven't I touched upon in my career in advertising? I mean, I suppose I always marvel at a really great head of traffic, someone who works in traffic. Mm-hmm. I've worked with some great traffic people. We used to work with someone that we used to call the Rottweiler because she was taking no mess from anyone. This has to happen at this time. This brief is coming to you for this reason. And I think traffic for me is like that's the most organisational part of our department. Uh-huh. I'm not naturally organised. So for me, anyone that can head up a traffic department is like a hero to me. Okay. I've met a few amazing traffic people.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great shout. No one else has recommended that. So that's awesome.
Without traffic, we'd all fall apart.
Yeah.
It's true. You need someone to hold the puppet strings at the top. Yeah, otherwise everyone running around like a headless chicken.
Christina, thank you so much for coming in today and chatting. I've just so loved talking to you.
Thank you so much. And thank you also for this awesome podcast that's shining a light on women in the industry that, you know, are making changes and deserve to be there. So thank you. I've loved it.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed, please write a review and rate, as that helps other people find Greater Than 11%. Also, stay subscribed to keep up to date on the weekly releases. This podcast is made possible by the support of Hub, an insight-led content agency based in London. A huge thank you to the producers, Pat Murray and James Haberson, and to our editors, Daniel Clark and Laura Francis, and to Maria Continenza for designing the beautiful artwork.